Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
If you have your copy of God's word, grab it and go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So today we're going to continue in our series, Potty Mouth, where we've been looking at how to use our mouths to honor God. A potty mouth is not just using your mouths to cuss or to say vulgar words, although we're going to touch on that next week, okay? So just give you a heads up. That's where we're going next week, all right? But a potty mouth is using your mouth in any way that dishonors God. And sometimes our mouth gets the pottiest after we blow our stack. You ever heard that phrase? Blow your stack? Well, our good friend Yosemite Sam is going to demonstrate what I'm talking about. Check out this video.
I had a toy train when I was young, but a wheel fell off and it wouldn't run. And ooh, I blew my stack. Yosemite Sam. Daddy sent me to school, but things got weird when the kids made fun of my long red beard. And ooh, I blew my stack. The merchant marine kept my temper at bay until a doll fan looked at me the wrong way. And ooh, I blew my stack.
Oh, man.
So I worked at the library, peaceful place, but people kept turning their books in late. And ooh, I blew my stack. Somebody says something's just not nice. Deep inside, I just don't feel right. I'm like a walking stick of lit dynamite. I'm about to blow, you better go. You're about to guest star on the Blow My Stack show. Show. Anger management class says count to 10, but I only get to 3, and then, guess what? I blow my stack! Hey, quit rubbing it in.
Sorry, Sam, that's what happened.
It's like you're trying to get me to blow my stack.
So that is blowing your stack. My kids said, hey, Dad, you think maybe next week you could work in Fortnite? That'd be really great. We just work that in. So how many of you guys have ever blown your stack? Man, I'm telling you, right? Something happens that you just get this flash of rage so strong that it seems like streams are shooting out of your head and fire out of your nose and smoke rolling out of your ears. I mean, you are just blowing your stack. I can remember one day, Camp Lucon, about year 2000. This was like 20 years ago, but I still remember it. I had just taken this group of precious fifth and sixth graders across the zip line, you know, just angels, every one of them, angels. And we were sitting around as a group trying to debrief the experience and helping them to come to know Christ in a greater way. It was just beautiful. This holy moment of beatific contemplation where we were really connecting Jesus to contemporary moments and the Holy Spirit was just moving, right? I mean, just stirring hearts, enlightening minds. It was an awesome moment until that tree nut busted me upside the head. Now, it didn't fall from the sky. It was hurled like a missile, apparently from one of the boys who had had enough of listening to me. And so he decided to throw some nuts and that he had found on the ground. And one of them, as I was looking away, went right upside my head. And immediately, like a thermometer placed in boiling water, man, my anger flew up. I mean, I must have looked like Yosemite Sam right there, right? Blowing my stack, because all of the kids' eyes got big and their mouths fell wide open. I couldn't even finish, y'all. Couldn't finish. I had to turn it over to my other camp staffer to finish the talk, okay? So anger and the expression of anger through our mouth can leave us a real potty mouth. Anybody here ever hit your thumb with a hammer and yelled out, "Oh, heaven!" No, you didn't do that, right? It's usually something ugly. Anybody that's ever lost control of their temper or said something ugly, you usually end up regretting it. And so anger and the expression of anger can be really dangerous. That's why today's text It's such an important text for you and me to help us along in life. So I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Guys, God's Word is powerful unto salvation for making us more like God, and today's text is no different. So James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21 says this. Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have given us your word that we might be saved. And not just that we would be saved, but that we would act like we're saved. So, Father, work in us, we pray. If this is an area, and it is, it's an area that touches every single one of us in some way, I pray that you would conform us to Christ in this moment and that we would handle our anger in a godly way. Father, we pray for those who have yet to repent and trust Christ. I pray your Holy Spirit would move in on their heart and would awaken them to their need for Jesus. And today would be the day they would see their sin, they would see the Savior crucified for their sin, and they would repent and trust Jesus for their salvation. God, just move in our midst, we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Grab your seat there. So here's today's task. How do I restrain my angry words? Because we know, right, it just, and right, it feels like that. You got to hold them back. So how do I restrain my angry words? I want to give you three ways to do that, two of which explicitly come from our text, and one which is implicit. It's an implicit application of the text. So first, to restrain your angry words, open up your ears and shut your mouth. Just straight up, right? That's what James says here in verse 119. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. What that tells me is that if you and I are disciplined enough to be quick to listen and slow to speak, then we will prove ourselves to be slow to anger. This shows you that you are in control of your anger. But when we do the opposite, when we are slow to hear and quick to speak, we show that our anger is in control of us. And so that's a question you've got to deal with this morning. As you think about your anger and how you express it, are you in control of your anger, or is your anger in control of you? If we're going to restrain our angry words, we must open up our ears and shut our mouth. I want you to do this simple illustration with me. I want you to take one hand, cup it, and put it behind your ears. Just one ear, not both of them. Then I want you to take your other hand, and I want you to take it. I want you to cover over your mouth. This is what, if we had a third hand, I wish we had a third hand, right? Because we put it over the other ear, right? But this is how we should initially operate. If we had a third hand, we'd cup it behind the other ear. Because it's probably been pointed out to you before that God gave us how many ears? Two. And how many mouths? One. We should listen more than we speak. Why? Because it is the wise thing to do. And as I look out on this congregation, I don't see fools. I see people who desire to be wise. And James here, he's drawing just on this immense depository of Old Testament wisdom on this subject. You see, over and over again, Scripture says that opening our ears and shutting our mouth is the wise thing to do. Just let me hit you with some of these. If you're taking notes, maybe write down these passages. You can go back and chew on them later. We're going to kind of hit them quickly here, just so you can see the vast witness to wisdom on this. All right, Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man does what to advise? He listens." Proverbs 29:20. "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Proverbs 21:23. Listen to this. It says, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Amen? Let me read that one again, man. That one's worth it, right? We need to hear that one again. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs 16:32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 17:27 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And finally, Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Now, opening up your ears and shutting your mouth is easier said than done. Right? In that moment, you need the Holy Spirit perhaps more than ever, because it's such a natural reaction. But if we're going to prove ourselves wise instead of foolish, we must open our ears and shut our mouth to restrain our angry words. Secondly, to restrain your angry words, you need to strive to rid yourself of unrighteous anger. Strive to rid yourself of unrighteous anger. Now, look at our text, verse 19, James 1:19. Notice what is said and what is not said about anger. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, nowhere in this passage are we called to rid ourselves of anger. Right? We're called to be slow to anger. So we have a situation like we had last week here when we talked about criticism. Criticism, as I said last week, in itself is not sinful. And the same is true with anger here. There is righteous anger and there is unrighteous anger. And so this makes anger different from lying and gossip and complaining like we've talked about. There's no righteous lying. There's no righteous gossip. There's no righteous complaining. But there is righteous anger and unrighteous anger. You see, anger is like dynamite. Anger is a lot like dynamite. It is a powerful force that can be used for good or for bad. It can be used to destroy buildings and bridges and many other things. But it can also be used to be productive if used properly. For instance, like Mount Rushmore. How many of you guys have ever been to Mount Rushmore before? Mount Rushmore, guys. I went there in 2006, man. I thought it'd kind of be cool, but it was way cooler than I expected it. Did you know that dynamite was used to carve that inspiring national monument? In fact, 90% of Mount Rushmore was carved using precise and controlled blasts of dynamite. So today we're not asking you to get rid of anger. We're trying to help you get rid of unrighteous anger. Because we know that anger itself is not sinful, because the Bible is replete. It is full of examples of God Himself expressing anger. Let me hit you with a few here so that just make sure that you have the biblical foundation for this. Psalm 2, verse 4 and 5. Speaking about God says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision, then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them with his fury. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a righteous judge, a God who feels indignation every day. Habakkuk 3:12 says, you, Lord, marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7 and 8, last one to just look at an example here. Speaking to Israel, God says, remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he was ready to destroy you. We could go on with lots of examples here, okay? But Scripture is clear that anger is a righteous expression of the attributes of God. And Scripture says that you and I are made in the image of God, right? In the Latin, that phrase is imago Dei, right? We are in the image of God. And anger is actually one of the ways that you and I reflect the image of God emotionally. When our anger is righteous, we are actually reflecting the glory of God. But unfortunately, the image of God has been terribly marred by sin in our fallenness, right? Sin has so tainted our body, so tainted our heart and mind, that our emotions are not pure. Our emotions are not pure. You and I are born completely tainted by sin, all right? That means that even our anger, our emotions, and anger here in this example, in this message, is corrupted by sin. So while anger can be righteous, it can also be very sinful. It can be expressed and experienced in sinful ways. That's why Ephesians 4:26 had to be said. It had to be said. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not what? Sin. Be angry and do not sin. The Bible had to say this. God had to say this because we so often sin in our anger. So what's the difference? What's the difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger? Here's how I would define it. Righteous anger is indignation for holy reasons expressed in holy ways. Let me say that again. Righteous anger is indignation for holy reasons expressed in holy ways. This is the kind of anger that is consumed with the desire for righteousness or with God's will, with God's reputation, God's honor. It's the kind of anger that we should feel when we see somebody being mistreated. You're right, you see somebody get mistreated, made fun of at school, and it makes you angry. You should get angry over that. It's the kind of anger that we feel when we have been lied to. It's the kind of anger we feel when God's name is blasphemed, when you hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain or say something that's not true about God or is ugly about God. When you get angry about that, you should. It's the kind of anger that we should feel when somebody is trying to romantically draw away our spouse. You should get mad about that. But not only is righteous anger for holy reasons the key, but it also has to be expressed righteously. So there are things that you should get angry about, but you can express that anger in an ungodly way. So let me throw some out here. So for instance, a man may be righteously angry when he sees broken mothers leaving an abortion clinic after just having invited the medical professionals in there to murder her baby. But that righteous anger moves to sinful anger if that man's response is to blow up that abortion clinic. You see what I'm talking about there? Right? He was angry over something that he should have been angry about, but then he went about solving the problem in an unrighteous way. Or a wife may be righteously angry when another woman tries to steal her husband. But if that righteous anger becomes sinful anger, and the wife pulls out a 38 special or whatever, right? That's unrighteous, right? That moves from righteous to unrighteous anger, okay? But sinful anger is unholy reasons. It has unholy reasons for it, right? It's selfish. It's worried about personal reputation. It's worried about personal honor. It arises from sinful judgments and inflated egos. It stems from thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And not only is it motivated by unholy reasons, it's expressed in unholy ways. So when we think about big, broad categories, there are really only two ways that sinful anger is typically displayed. One way is what we might call active aggressive. Active aggressive. Just picture a volcano exploding. Lava shooting everywhere and gas and rock and all that ash and all that mess. Just picture that. That is active aggression. It blows up. They ventilate. They externalize their anger like a volcano that spews destruction all over the place. They yell, scream, holler, slam doors, throw stuff, cuss, flip people off, tell people off, attack people verbally, and attack people physically. These are examples of sinful anger. Active, aggressive ways of handling anger. anger. But there's a second unholy way of handling anger that we might call passive aggressive. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but most of you, we all have one that we typically turn to. We are either active aggressive or we are passive aggressive. And a lot of times it depends on where we are and who we're with, which one we turn to. But we typically have a way that we go about it sinfully. So passive aggressive, again, I want you to picture a volcano. But picture one like the experts say is under Yosemite or under Yellowstone National Park. Did you know that supposedly, and I believe it, there is a super volcano underneath that national park? That's what causes all of those amazing geysers and all that stuff to happen there. Well, it's a volcano, but it's underneath the surface. And over time, pressure builds until one day it will explode. That's what happens when we handle our anger in passive-aggressive ways. We internalize the anger, and from time to time, like the old faithful geyser, we let off some steam to let the person know that we're actually furious underneath. Inside, we're raging. We show passive aggression when we refuse to speak to people. When we give the person the cold shoulder, when we avoid them. When we remove affection from them, like when you want to show your spouse that you're mad by refusing to let him touch you or her touch you, or by refusing to show them affection. You're showing passive aggressiveness when you talk bad about people behind their back. When you show moodiness or irritation or frustration. When you're just disgusted with them, when you glare at them. Man, I tell you, I mean, we've perfected that glare, haven't we? I mean, we could burn a hole through somebody. It's like Superman with the X-ray vision and whatever else he has, right? Or huffing, snorting, clucking our tongues. These are all ways that we show passive aggressiveness. Instead of open warfare, passive aggressiveness is like guerrilla warfare. You hide the aggression and you shoot the enemy every chance you get. So unrighteous anger is indignation for unholy reasons expressed in unholy ways. And we need to strive, guys, to rid ourselves of the existence and the expression of unrighteous anger. And our text here tells us why. Look at verse 20 with me. James 1:20 says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I take that phrase, the anger of man, to mean fleshly anger, right? Anger that is ruled by the flesh instead of by the spirit. Anger that controls us instead of us controlling it. Fleshly anger will never produce the righteousness of God. Let's turn again to the Proverbs. Proverbs, let me hit you with three of them here. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 12:18, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, and the tongue of the wise brings healing," or "but the tongue of the wise brings healing." One more, Proverbs 15:8 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Beloved, these verses here are begging you and me to restrain our anger, to restrain our angry words, because the words that come out in unrighteous anger are like throwing gasoline on a fire. What happens when you throw gasoline on a fire? It does what? It blows up. We need to strive to rid ourselves of unrighteous anger. But when anger arrives, remember, anger can be righteous and unrighteous. When that anger arises, it arises involuntarily. And we all have this energy. What should we do with all that energy? That brings us to the final point this morning. To restrain your angry words, focus your righteous anger on the problem. Focus your righteous anger on the problem. Now, we don't see this explicitly spelled out in James, but it is implicit, isn't it? It's an implicit application of James 1. If flesh-controlled anger never produces the righteousness of God, then Holy Spirit-controlled anger will produce the righteousness of God. And spirit-controlled anger will focus on the problem. You see, one of the reasons that flesh-controlled anger never produces the righteousness of God is because unrighteous anger focuses on the people. Right? It attacks the person. Oh, you blankety blank, you always do that. You are a terrible person, right? It's that ad hominem. You're taking it to the man, or you're taking it to the woman. Or it defends yourself, right? It's either attacking or defending. You blankety blank, how dare you do that to me? I will not be treated this way because I deserve to be treated better. Right? And so focusing on people throws gasoline on the fire. It throws gasoline on the fire, but Holy Spirit-controlled anger produces the righteousness of God because it focuses on the problem. That's what I want to get you to today, right? We don't want you to focus on the people. We want you to focus on the problem. We don't want you to ventilate. We don't want you to clam up. We want you to focus on the problem. You see, anger in one sense is a gift. It's a gift. It interjects energy into the situation that has to be harnessed to fix the problem. You see, when you blow up, when you ventilate, when you are active aggressive, who are you mainly working to destroy? When you're actively aggressive, who are you mainly working to destroy? The other person, right? And when you are passive aggressive, internalizing all that, who are you mainly working to destroy? Yourself. But here's the deal, guys. When you take the energy of anger and refrain and refocus it back on the problem, what are you mainly working to destroy? The answer is the problem. The problem. You're focused on fixing, destroying, eradicating the problem. Right now, guys, light is all around us. Everywhere you look, right? There's light from these lights here. You'll go outside, the sun is shining. There is light all around us. But when we train and focus the energy of light into a very specific place, that light becomes a laser. And with lasers, man, you can do a lot of good. If you've ever had a kidney stone, you may have been treated with lithotripsy, which is a laser technique. Or maybe you've had cancer, especially on the skin, and it was treated with laser techniques, right? Focused light. Or maybe you've had poor eyesight that's been fixed with laser techniques, right? The energy of light, when it's restrained, when it's refocused on the problem, medically speaking, the problem gets solved, and it's the same way in everyday life. If you will take the energy of anger and restrain it and refocus it on the problem, your problem will get solved and dissolved. Guys, all throughout Scripture, you and I are called to be imitators of God. All throughout Scripture. And as we come to the conclusion this morning, I need you to understand that if you're going to be an imitator of God, then you must focus your righteous anger on the problem, because that's exactly what God did when it came to your sin and my sin. We read a moment ago in Psalm 7:11. Psalm 7:11 said that God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. Other translations say that he is angry with the wicked every day. But praise be to God, God did not blow his stack and he did not throw us all away into hell. God took that righteous anger, that righteous indignation toward our sin, and he focused it on the problem. He sent his son Jesus to the cross to endure the righteous anger of God, the wrath of God that was due you and due me. He took that wrath on himself. Jesus took that wrath, and he endured it, and he paid for our sins, the sin of all who will believe on Jesus. And now God is calling every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to turn from their sins and to trust in Jesus, so that God's wrath toward you may be extinguished. I beg you this morning, trust in Jesus and be saved from God's wrath. I pray that God's word today would not return void, but would do exactly what James 1:21 says. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Here it is, which is able to save your souls. Praise God that our God focused his anger on our problem. And he made a way for our souls to be saved. And that he's taught us how to use our anger righteously. May you be an imitator of God. Here's my final prayer. May we control our anger and harness its energy to produce good and godly outcomes.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.